The theme of this year's Advent sermon series is the Christmas trees of the Bible. Last week, Pastor Bill pointed out that the purpose of a Christmas tree is to point to Christ. He then set the stage for how there are several trees from Genesis to Revelation that do just that. They point to the one whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, and for whose second advent we are waiting in eager hope and expectation. Today we turn our attention to the Christmas trees found in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. In Genesis 2, 8, and 9 we read, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So how are these two particular trees Christmas trees? How do they point to Christ? Well, for one thing, by eating the fruit from the tree of life, Adam and Eve could have enjoyed an eternal relationship with God of love and trust as his obedient children, being something which only those who have faith in the second Adam, Jesus Christ, will ever experience. He is the true tree of life. But instead of eating of the tree of dependency on God and on his Son, the Christ of Christmas, they ate of the forbidden tree, and death entered into the world just as God had said it would. Picture it like this. This is a Christmas tree, and it's pointing in the wrong direction. There are actually trees that are manufactured like this. Why? So you can fit more room for presents underneath it. But its very design and direction points south, which is the direction our life will go when we focus only on ourselves. This tree is an upside-down tree. It points to earth rather than heavenward. It's the polar opposite of true life, which is dependency on God, the author of life. This tree points downward to us and is a tree of independence from God. The focus of this tree is me, myself, and I. To have me, myself, and I as the sole focus of our life is death, just as God warned Adam. In Genesis 2, 15 and 17, we read, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Do you see how merciful God is? He's warning Adam of a great danger to his body and soul. And you only warn those you love. He warned Adam, as any good parent warns a beloved child, that if you play with fire, you will get burned. Only in the case of the fruit of this tree, not just a burn that would hurt, but a burn that would kill. Do you wonder why God would place a tree in the garden and then forbid Adam and Eve to eat of it? This tree provided an exercise in choice. And without choice, Adam and Eve would have been like prisoners, and their obedience to God would have been hollow. Yes, God wanted Adam and Eve to obey, but it had to be a freely given obedience. So rather than physically preventing him from eating, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. And with the capacity to choose, the possibility of choosing wrong. God has given us the freedom to choose as well. This means that like Adam and Eve, we can choose wrong over right, disobedience over obedience, self-will over God's will, and independence from God over dependence on God. In choosing to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve sought a creaturely source of wisdom rather than trusting in the divine wisdom and word of God. They wanted to be their own self-governing persons. And that's what turned the upside-right world God had created into an upside-down world. Their innocence lost, their relationship with God fractured, and awareness of their nakedness testified to the shame that they now felt in the presence of one another and in the presence of God. Innocence lost. Paradise lost. But what's wrong with knowing good and evil, you ask? Nothing. Unless it represents an independence from God or defiance of God, which is what the upside down tree portrays. Because they sinned, before they sinned, Adam and Eve weren't aware of their nakedness. Any more than an innocent toddler running naked through a room full of people is self-conscious that they don't have any clothes on. Only after the first couple fell into sin did they feel shame for their nakedness and try to hide themselves from God and cover over their nakedness. Genesis 3, 2 and 3 says that even though they didn't die physically on the spot, in that moment, Adam and Eve became spiritually dead in their trespasses and sins, long before eventually dying physically. The Bible speaks of two kinds of death in addition to physical death. Spiritual death is the kind that causes guilty persons to hide from God, as Adam and Eve did. The second death refers to a total and final separation from God. Had God not cast Adam and Eve out of the garden after their act of disobedience in eating of the forbidden fruit, and had they then eaten of the tree of life in their fallen state, they would have been justly consigned by God to an eternity of total and final separation from him, further compounding the tragedy of their disobedience and rebellion against him. The question the two Christmas trees of Genesis 1 through 3 poses for you today is this: will you choose to live an upside-down life of independence from God, characterized by disobedience, distrust, and rebellion? Or will you choose to live a right-side-up life of dependence on God, characterized by trust and willing obedience toward him? The issue before Adam and Eve was whether they would let God determine what was good and bad, or would they seek to decide that for themselves in disregard for what God said? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a good tree, but man must not seize it. The illicit taking of this fruit by Adam and Eve involved the assertion of human autonomy, of independence from God, of the attempt to know all apart from God. But the Bible clearly teaches that man must live by faith alone in the Word of God alone, and not by a professed self-sufficiency of knowledge. Only the man who realizes that it is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God, is the man who has any hope at all of ever eating of the tree of life. We know what choice Adam and Eve made. By taking of the forbidden fruit, Eve sealed an alliance with the prince of darkness and death. Adam also ate and became a rebel, and he did so without any of the sinister pressure Eve was subjected to. Surrounded with an abundant motives to just trust and love and serve and obey God, just as you and I are surrounded by an abundance of his mercies, they chose disobedience against God. Their only hope, like ours, is God's loving election and plan of redemption. As one of the Christmas trees of the Bible, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the upside down tree of living for self rather than for God. It is the upside down life of seeking self-gratification while putting God and others at the bottom of the priority list. It is the upside down life of disobedience and rebellion against God that brings suffering, misery, and discontentment to life. That's because the upside down tree puts the focus on us. And just as an upside down Christmas tree makes more room under the tree for more presents for me, 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 the upside down tree points to the reason we need Christmas, the reason we need a Savior, need forgiveness, need redemption. We need the upright tree of life to point us to that Savior, to his cross, to the forgiveness he won for us there. The upside down tree is the tree of independence from God, of aligning ourselves with the evil one in the pursuit of self-will and the selfish pursuit of what we want, when we want it. It is the tree of death. The right side up tree is the tree of dependence upon God. It is the tree of life. Under these two Christmas trees in the Garden of Eden, we find the gift of a promise. Genesis 3:15 is the promise of the Savior to come. It is the promise of the second Adam, who will crush the head of the serpent and secure an eternal victory over sin, death, and the devil for all who believe in him. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God has promised that you will forever enjoy the fruit of the tree of life in his heavenly garden, not the garden of paradise lost, but the garden of paradise found. Dr. Luther Smith, a biblical counselor, captures well today's Advent sermon theme when he writes, "With Christmas fast approaching, it is easy to get lost in all of the wonders of the lights and festivities. While many of us are busy wrapping presents to prepare to place under our Christmas trees, we sometimes neglect to reflect on the true meaning of Christmas and why we observe this wonderful holiday. The birth of Jesus Christ is much more than a little babe found in the manger. The reality of Christmas can also be found in the Garden of Eden. In the book of Genesis, God had told Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that in that day when Adam ate of it, he would die. Adam and Eve, due to the actions of the crafty serpent, ate the fruit. They were commanded not to eat. Death, as a consequence of eating the fruit, had now entered creation. Adam and Eve were now cursed. However, it was at this moment when God declared a promise directly to the serpent and indirectly to Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. This promise in the distant future would be realized in a baby born in a manger whose work on the cross would destroy the works of the serpent. This little babe in the manger would mean nothing without the first Christmas told to the serpent and indirectly to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. As we think of Christmas throughout this month, remembering the holy babe in the manger, let us not forget to reflect back to where it all began. The first Christmas was given in the Garden of Eden. If you think that preparations for Christmas these days begins way too early, remember that the preparation for Christmas really began from before the foundation of the world and was first proclaimed amidst the trees of the Garden of Eden when God foretold the good news of the Savior to come who would crush the mortal enemy of man on yet another Christmas tree of the Bible. Amen.